I'm gonna teach a really short, condensed lesson about something that I think is very important and part of the reason that we did this. But I would be remiss, I would be in fault of the calling that God gave me if on this day we didn't take some time before it gets too busy and spend some time in fellowship, greeting one another, introducing ourselves to one another, connecting with one another. So I want you to take 3, 4, 5 minutes right now, walk across the aisle. If you're just getting here, get yourself relaxed, meet somebody, shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, introduce yourself, and let's have a friends and family day here at the church. So anybody that wants to be the first, walk across the aisle, get up, greet someone, tell everybody how happy you are to see them, how good they look here in church this morning. Love one another, smile at one another, connect with each other. It's good to hear some excitement, some noise in the sanctuary this morning. It's good to see so many faces, so many smiles. Thank you all for coming. Especially good to have our visitors and guests with us. Thank you. Just make yourself at home. That's what this day is all about, and that's what church is all about. For those of you that are wondering, I just went back to grab myself a bottle of water out of the refrigerator, and there was none in there. And I'm not saying somebody go get me some. What I'm telling you is you've got a lot to be thankful for, because this picnic is going to have some very good food. And there's some delicious-looking desserts in there. So if you're diabetic, doesn't count today. Doesn't count today. If you need prayer, we'll get your prayer cloth before we leave, and then just enjoy the blessings of God. I'm looking forward to a great day. I want to be cognizant of time, so I'm going to dismiss the children and the teachers that are going downstairs right now. I have let them know to plan for the service to be a, I don't need that, thank you. To be a little bit shorter than normal. The way this will work is as soon as we dismiss, everybody can make their way safely to the main pavilion at Lakeshore Park. We have several individuals that are going to be leaving during the service to go pick up some hot food and get our tables ready, put the tablecloths out so that we can be prepared as soon as we get there. So just make your way. We normally try to get the tables closest to the parking lot. So for anybody that has mobility issues, there should be handicap spots right there where you can pull up right next to the tables, and then we'll go have a good time. Depending on the weather, I say do whatever it is that you're comfortable with. If you want to swim, if you want to walk, if you want to take advantage of all the things that Lake Erie has and Lakeshore Parks, by all means, do it. That's what this day is about. We'll have the food ready as quickly as we possibly can so that we can eat as soon as we get there. I don't like to stand between people and food, because I've been in the ministry long enough to know that that's a losing battle. So I hope you brought your appetites. I hope you're in a good mood. I hope you're ready to connect. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, but before I do, I want to make you understand kind of the thought process as to why we're doing this. And I do want to let you know that we're going to be doing this essentially the first Sunday of every month the rest of this summer. So August the 2nd and then September the 6th, we will have a very similar service where we'll have service and then we will have a picnic, weather permitting, at Lakeshore Park, because one of my core beliefs as the pastor of this church is I want us to begin to connect with one another as individuals. I think friends and family are gifts from God that we need to actively and intentionally take advantage of. A lot of times life gets busy, life gets hectic, life gets complicated, and sometimes you just have to literally take a stop, take a break, and reconnect. And I believe if we'll do that, God will bless our families, He'll bless ourselves, He'll bless our friends, and ultimately He's going to bless His church if we'll do that. So August 2nd and September 6th will be our next two of these. This is our very first one. So you're part of a groundbreaking service today, and I'm excited that you're here. Thank you for being here. I do want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments on a very simple thought, a very simple title, Friends and Family. You don't need to stand, but I'm going to read two verses of Scripture, both from the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, who the Bible describes as the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon was the son of King David, and when he became the leader of Israel, God came to him, and Solomon said, "Lord, I don't want riches, I don't want power over my enemies, I don't want long life, I want wisdom to be able to lead your great people." And God said, because of the humbleness of your heart in asking for this, I'm going to make it so that your words never fall to the ground. So Solomon was described as the wisest man that ever lived. So there's a lot of ladies today that thought that the wisest man that ever lived was your husband. But he's second to Solomon, because Solomon's the wisest man that ever lived. And this is what Solomon wrote in his book of Proverbs. Proverbs 17 and 17 says this, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." If you flip over to the very next chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs 18 and 24 says this, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I want to talk to you, and like I said, this is going to be brief, so you got to get with me right off the bat. I want to talk to you this morning just for a few moments about friends and family. Now, many of you know me. You know that I love statistics. I love numbers. I love information. I love data. And I'm going to give you two statistics that aren't going to seem like this is a very happy service, but by the end, we're going to get somewhere. But I want to get your mind thinking in a certain way, so let your guard down. Get comfortable for the next 15 minutes. Let me speak to you, and then we'll go have a good time. According to statistics, between 8 and 12% of American adults report having, quote, no close friends. Between 8 and 12%. This number has quadrupled from 3% since 1990. How many of you were alive in 1990? If you weren't, you just aggravate me. Anybody ever go somewhere and talk to a professional, like a doctor, your attorney, someone at the office that's in power that can collect your money, and their birth year starts with the number 2, and you're like, how many of you have a hard time talking to those people? How many of you have a hard time going to your doctor, doesn't look like they shave yet? Okay. Well, since 1990, which to us isn't that long ago, in 1990, I was in 10th grade. But since 1990, the number of Americans that report having no close friends, and that's the wording, has quadrupled from 3% to between 8 and 12%. Here's another staggering statistic. If you count just American adult men, that number jumps even farther to over 15%. So the ladies seem to be able to do something that the men can't and have close relationships. Men, American adults, have even fewer close friends. Here's another statistic. Surveys show that roughly 25 to 35% of all American adults are estranged from an immediate family member, such as a parent or a sibling. So essentially, according to statistics, 1 out of 3 American adults are estranged from a family member, parent, sibling, brother, someone that's immediate. So if we look at the attendance today, and there's probably 60 people in our campus today, of those, there's probably 45 adults. That would tell me that there's 15 people listening to me right now that are estranged from one of their immediate family members. In broader terms, nearly 40% of U.S. adults report not having an active, close relationship with one or more of their immediate relatives. That's why we are having these services. That's why I feel there's no longer the option to sit idly by while these numbers continue to grow. We've got to become intentional in fellowship. I know a lot of people that have the mindset of you wake up in the morning and whatever the day brings, you just go with the flow. That's not scriptural. Matter of fact, Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, that was his intention. And when his father passed out the blessing, he said, Reuben, you are unstable as water. I believe that God has called us that when we see a problem, we see a red flag, we see an issue on the horizon, we've got to be man and woman enough to confront it. And the statistics show that one of the things hampering God's church is a lack of friends and family connection. when we know that 15% of the adult males that we come into contact with every day have no close friends. According to Scripture, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. The wisest man that ever lived constantly spoke about the importance of friends and family. He's also the man that spoke of all the other things that we focus on, money and prestige and career and position. His wording was this: I looked at the end of my life and all of the things that I gained, all of the wealth that I had, all of the prestige. He was known as the greatest man of the East. People would come just to hear him speak. And at the end of his life, he said, all of that was vanity and vexation of spirit. It was nothing but a waste of time. But he talked about personal connection as being the key to life. Now, I'm not here to put anybody on the spot because I want this to be a great day. But I do want you for 1 minute, I want you to stop, and I want you to honestly take assessment if any of those statistics apply to you. Do you have a close friend? And I'm not talking spiritually yet because we're going to get there. Can you think of when I read these statistics where it says that up to 40%, almost half of American adults are currently estranged from an immediate, not your third cousin, not you got into an argument at the family reunion and you and your cousin's in-laws don't speak anymore. I'm talking about your immediate family, your blood relation, your brothers and sisters that you grew up with, your children that you raised, your spouse that you still currently live with. 40% are estranged from those relationships. And the scripture says that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That scripture means so much to me that I carry it on a bookmarker in my Bible at all times. I used to be part of our men's ministry at our old church. And when we went to men's conference as a group the 1 year, as a matter of fact, it was 2021, I had these bookmarkers made with those scriptures on them to pass out to all the men, because men sometimes rethink and they believe and they've adopted this mindset that I'll just tough my way through it. I'll just bite my bottom lip and I'll grit. I know that preacher's preaching to me, but I don't need to get emotional about it. I just need to hunker down, toughen down. I'm here to talk to you this morning about the importance of friends and family. Now, I've just read those statistics to you. Now, how many of you are comfortable being alone? I'm going to preach to Brother Mike for a couple minutes. I prefer being alone. Because when I'm by myself, if I get in an argument, it just means I'm a crazy person. And it happens all the time. Anybody in here talk to yourself? You're not crazy. Who in here doesn't talk to themselves? You're the crazy people. The one that ain't talking, and he's just looking, that's the one that's just talking to himself, he's got his thoughts in order. But I prefer to be alone. I prefer to lock everybody out, to lock out all the noise so that I can focus and get my thoughts right. And you know what that is? According to Scripture, that's my flesh. Because the Scripture says, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. The very reason that God invented or created woman was because the first problem that arose in Scripture, the very first problem in Scripture was God looking down on his creation in the Garden of Eden, and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him, and he created woman. So men, I know, they drive us nuts. And it's always better to get in that room and just close the door and get back there and make faces at them. Because as you're walking into the bedroom, they're just blabbing their jaw. Blah, 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 blah. And you get behind the door, and I'm not telling you you're sin. I'm telling you you're just normal when you get behind the door and you look back at the door and you go, and you do it quiet enough so they don't hear. But the truth of the matter is, it's not good for us to be alone. If you're like me, listen, I'm going to preach to me for a while. It's not pleasing to God for you always to want to be off by yourself. Because when you're by yourself, you know what drives you crazy? Exactly. Your thoughts, they'll go crazy on you. God didn't design us to be alone. He designed us to be in relationship with one another. Well, that's harder, Brother Mike, because then I got to put up with their attitude. Yes, but you also receive from that relationship as well. So today I want you to make a focus when you leave that you are going to intentionally come out of that shell and try to connect yourself with others. Turn with me to the book of Romans. I'm going to read something that's not necessarily in this vein, but I'm going to read one scripture for you, and then I'm going to build the rest of that chapter around it. Romans 14 and 7 says this, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." How many of you have ever heard this phrase in secular society? No man is an island. You ever heard that? Okay, that's taken from scripture. That thought process comes from this scripture that says, none of us lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Whether you admit it or not, whether you embrace it or not, whether you're okay with it or not, doesn't matter. Your life affects other people. If you died this afternoon, it would affect not just you. It might affect some people good. Some people might be happy. Some people, that might be what they're praying for. But the truth of the matter is, God created the human race interconnected, and his scripture says none of us lives to himself. So even when your default mechanism is to crawl into that bedroom by yourself and isolate yourselves, you're still not living to yourselves. You are having an effect on other people, and no man dies to himself. But I want to talk to you today a little bit about how to make that a positive. So let's go up to verse 5 of Romans 14. It says, "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Now, how many of you have been around church long enough to realize that not all churches teach the same thing? How many of you have been around church long enough to realize not all individual churches believe the same thing? How many of you are smart enough and brave enough right now, look around this room, and I want you to point at the person that you agree with 100% on everything. All the husbands are pointing to their wife because they're trying to butter up for later on. Good, good, good move. Her. I'll tell you who I can point at that I agree with 100%. Nobody. Here's what's weird. I can't even point at myself. Because there's times I'm like, I don't know if I really believe that. The scripture says, one man esteems one day above another. Another man esteems every day alike. How many of you know there's churches that believe that you shouldn't celebrate 4th of July? Christian churches. How many know there's Christian churches that believe you shouldn't celebrate Christmas? How many of you know there's certain Christian churches that believe you shouldn't celebrate Easter? How many of you know there's certain Christian churches that believe you shouldn't celebrate Halloween? Okay, that's what this scripture's talking about. And what I want to talk to you today about is this. It's time for us here in Ashtabula to stop allowing little differences to separate ourselves. There's not two people in here. There isn't two. You can take Brenda and Gwendolyn. They come as a, if you see one, you see the other. They're as close of a package as you get. If you see Brenda, you know, right? Sooner or later, Gwendolyn's coming in. And Gwendolyn's going to be frustrated because she's with Brenda. Why are you guys all laughing? Say amen. Yeah, I see. You're saying amen. They don't agree on everything. Brenda's like, no. There's not two people in the world. I don't even care about your soulmate. You guys don't agree on everything. Nobody agrees on everything. No individual agrees on everything with themselves. The scripture says, one man esteems one day above the others. He believes we should celebrate this. He believes in celebrating the whole. You know, holiday is a compound word taken from the words holy day. That's where we get it from. All holidays at one time were holy days. In the Bible, they called them Sabbath days. They said no servile work was to be done in them. They were a day of rest. They were a day of reflection. Most times when they first started, they were a day of fasting. We've kind of gone away from that, and we just changed a couple letters, and we make them a day of feasting. But the Bible says, one man esteems one day above another, another every day alike. He that regardeth the day, verse 6, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for that giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Do you realize what the writer Paul is saying to the church at Rome? He's saying, we're arguing and fussing and fighting about who's serving God more. Because the person that eats on Thanksgiving and gives God thanks is the same person that won't eat on Thanksgiving, and because he doesn't eat, he gives God thanks. And then he goes to that verse that we just read, no man lives to himself, and no man dies unto himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The thing that we all have in common, the thing that should bind us together, the thing that should make us all friends, the thing that should make that estranged family member no longer estranged, is the fact that we all belong to the Lord. Can I say something that's controversial in 2026, but it shouldn't be? I don't care whether you like it or not. You are all brothers and sisters, because we all have the same Father. And if you have a problem with that, don't yell at me, sister. Don't yell at me, brother. Go talk to Dad about it. I didn't create you. You didn't create me. But He created both of us. And He loves us equally. And if He loves us equally, so should we. Now, how many of you come from a family like mine? How many of you are hillbillies? How many of you dread the idea of being a hillbilly? How many of you want to be hillbillies? Because we're taking members. You can sign a sheet. Here's what you have to do. Spell your name wrong, and then you're part of the group. Put a nickname down named after something that don't make no sense. Call yourself Rabbit or Stump Jumper or something, and then you can be part of it. But here was my family growing up. I grew up, my mom and dad in the house. My grandfather lived with us. My grandmother died when she was 43 years old. So my grandpa moved in with my dad. My grandfather always lived with us. My mom and dad, I had two older brothers, and I have a younger sister. So I was the youngest boy, but my sister was the youngest sibling overall. Now, me and my brothers fist fought every day. If the sun came up, we were fist fighting. If the sun didn't come up, we were fist fighting. And we fist fought for real. Like, we were trying, but we had a rule. You couldn't punch in the face. You had to do body shots, wrestling. You had to do submission moves. My brother Richard loved Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and he used to pile drive us all the time. And I'll never forget the day my dad came home from work, and Richard, my brother, who was born in 1969, I was born in 75, so he's 6 years older than me, he was pile driving me off the garage. He jumped off the garage and pile drive me to the ground, and my dad lost his mind. Not because he was concerned about me at all. Quote, come out of my dad's mouth, "We don't have good insurance right now." Thanks, Dad. We would fight every day. Every day over everything. And my sister wasn't immune. My sister's the toughest female that ever lived because we beat the daylights out of her. My sister tattled on me one time. She's about 7 years old. She made me so mad. I picked her up, ran her across the kitchen, and threw her through the kitchen window. Not out, through the glass. Shattered the glass, threw her through the window out into the yard. My dad got so mad, he beat my sister. That caused an argument with my mom and my dad. But my dad said, "I've heard her tattle little mouth all day. A man can only take so much, Burry." She's like, "He threw her through the window." He's like, "Oh, I'm surprised he didn't just take her and kill her." Here's the point I'm making. I'll throw my sister through a glass window and not feel an ounce of regret of it. But I dare you to touch my sister. I dare you to say something bad about my sister, because I'll throw you through five glass windows. I would never in a million years punch my brother Daryl right in his mouth. Never in a million years. I'd punch him in the ribs all day long. I'd choke him. I'd sneak up on him. I'd pull his hair. I'd tattle on him. I'd put stuff in his food. He got a job. He was a union rep at the plant. He got me a job for the summer. I worked on midnights. He worked day turn. I would go in before I'd leave on midnights. I'd clock out. He would be clocking in for a shift. We'd say hello. I'd go in the break room as I was leaving and eat his lunch. Yeah, amen. I ain't no dummy. I like food. I dare one of you to say something about my brother. My brother pastors a church, and if anybody ever calls me and says anything about my brother, get ready. I don't cuss because I believe it's a sin, but I'll religiously cuss you out. I'll use all the religious words that I don't think are a sin, and I'll let you know exactly how I feel about you, because that's my brother. It's time for the church to start doing that. It's time for us to be able to take our little differences, our little squabbles, our little cracks that are in families. I've done so many funerals. Every family, I don't care if you got the best family in the world or right now your family's a disaster. Every family in the world has little cracks in the relationships. And death does one of two things. It either brings those cracks a little bit closer together, or it creates big, wide canyons. And you know who has the deciding factor on what happens? It's not God. It's not circumstance. It's us. It's time for the church, this church specifically, to lay some things down in the sake of connection with friends and family. Brother Mike, you don't know how they believe. I don't care. If God can't change them on an issue, how on earth do you think your constant nagging is going to change them? If the Spirit of the Holy Ghost doesn't change their attitude, what makes you think you giving them the cold shoulder is going to change their attitude? You want the answer to some family problems? I'm going to give them to you right now. And you're looking for this big, bold revelation. Some of us need to go home from the picnic today. We need to swallow our pride and make a phone call. And the phone call needs to start like this. I am sorry. Brother Mike, I didn't do anything. I didn't ask if you did. If you've never apologized when you weren't wrong, you're not as far along in maturity as being an adult as you need to be. That brother that I just told you about, I spent yesterday with him. We spent way too much money blowing stuff up. He pastors a church. You know what we did at his church yesterday? At his church, we took illegal fireworks that he got from a guy that he ministered to in prison, and the guy got out of prison, and now the guy feels a debt to him. So every 4th of July, he gets him illegal fireworks. We don't ask where they came from. See no evil, hear no evil, say no evil. So we took what we believe was a stick of dynamite, and we were going to blow it up at his house. And his wife said, you will not blow that off at this house. Because 2 years ago, we blew a hole in his siding. So we got in the car, and we're like, we're going to go blow it up? He's like, yeah. He's like, let's go to the church. They got a couple acres. I said, okay. He tells his son, find a grocery store that's open on 4th of July. So they looked. Meijer and Niles was open. They went and bought a watermelon. We dug the inside of the watermelon out. We put the stick of dynamite down into the watermelon, took the watermelon out in the field, made our two young sons, because they're still fast, me and my brother, if we had to run away, we probably killed ourselves, and we videotaped it. The watermelon was sitting about 300 yards from the church, and the watermelon rinds hit the church. We had a great day. Fantastic day. We blew up so much stuff. You ever, the best fireworks are when you're like, oh, oh, oh. It goes sideways or comes like into the crowd. And your wives are like, I don't believe you got to. Oh, calm down, calm down. There's kids here. They're learning how to be Americans. Four years ago, that couldn't have happened. Because we were at odds. Let me tell you what caused us to be at odds. My father's death. My dad was both of our pastors. My brother's an ordained minister. I'm an ordained minister. My father died unexpectedly, had a massive heart attack sleeping on the couch. We had no succession plan in place at the church. It devastated us. It rocked our worlds. My dad was our solid rock. He did everything. He counted the offering. He was the church treasurer. He was the pastor. He was the Bible study coordinator. He did all the weddings. He did all the funerals. He did everything, and he died. So we were sent into a tailspin. And you know what happened? Half the church wanted my brother to be the pastor. And half the church wanted me to be the pastor. And it took our families. Our son, my sons and his sons were best friends. Their cousins were, we were there every day. My wife and his wife were best friends. And that death caused both of us to get at odds with one another over the direction of our father's church. And my wife and I left the church over it. Because I allowed pride to enter into my heart, and I started listening to the half of the church that was telling me, you're more this, and you're more that, and Daryl's more this, and Daryl's more that. And we allowed that split to cause us to no longer be friends, let alone brothers. Our kids ended up growing up without each other. It got to this point. My son started a Bible study in Niles High School called Campus Ministries International, P7 Club. had dozens of kids that would come and read the Bible. They baptized some. We got some filled with the Holy Ghost. My brother who pastored the Apostolic Church in Niles, his children would not come to the Bible study. My nephew ran cross country with my sons. He was older. He was the reason my oldest son began to run cross country. He quit the cross country team to avoid contact with our family. If we were in restaurants, because all the restaurants in Niles, if I was in there eating and my brother would walk in, I would get up and leave. I know what I'm talking about. And I know who I'm talking to. I got so low spiritually in my walk with God that I went to the man of God of my life that I have so much respect for. And I walked in and I sat down, and before I even got a chance to say anything, and it was a 4-hour drive to get there, he looked right at me and he said, "Your spirit is wrong." And I said, "That's why I'm here." He said, "Do you want advice?" Now, this man's much younger than I am. I said, "Yeah, I need it, man. I'm in a bad shape." He said, "You need to get up from this chair right now and drive and go apologize to your brother." And I said, "You don't understand. I didn't do anything wrong." And he said, "I didn't ask if you did anything wrong. I asked if you want to be a man of God or not." I drove to my brother's house. I called him on the phone. I said, "I'm coming to make things right." He said, "Don't step foot on my property." I said, "I'm coming anyway." I went to the very same house that I was at yesterday. He would not open the door. He opened a screen window and looked at me. And I said, "Daryl, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me." And he said, "No." You could make all the excuses that you want. You can claim it's just not my personality. I'm not like you. The scripture says, for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. I didn't take no as an answer. We just kept working. Finally, he called me. He said, "Can you meet with me?" I said, "Yes." We had to meet at a neutral place because we wouldn't be on each other's property. Long story short, for the last 3 years, we get together every 4th of July. He hugs me. His wife hugs me. His kids hug me. I'm under contract right now with his son. His son's buying his first house and getting married. Who'd he call as his realtor? Uncle Mike. Took my granddaughter there yesterday to meet her family. We don't have time to play around in our emotions. We've got time right now that God has given to us to be men and women of God. And that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to go to a picnic, and there's going to be some little splits. Ty, not everybody likes you. Probably your hair. I don't like your hair. You know why? Because I'm jealous. Because if I had that much hair, I would comb it exactly the same way. It's not about that today. And what I want you to do is I want you to make up your mind right now that it's not about that from now on. From now on, it's not Brother Greg has to be friendly to me. From now on, it's me is going to be friendly to Brother Greg. Brother Greg's going to give me the cold shoulder. He's going to give me attitude. And he's going to be like, "I don't like you. I don't like riding with you. I don't like you." And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to swallow hard because I'm going to want to choke Brother Greg. But I'm not going to choke him. And I'm going to be friendly to him next week. And I'm going to be friendly to him next week. And before too long, you know what? Brother Greg's going to start being friendly to me. And then both of us are going to move to Glenna. And we're not going to wait for her to be friendly to us. We're just going to be friendly to her first. We are going to be intentional in what we do. And God is going to honor it. And he's going to put your families back together. He's going to put your friendships back together. And he's going to fill them with his spirit so that they can go home and be with him. God desires his children to get along. How many of you parents love it when your kids get along? Let me ask you this. How many of it does it break your heart when they don't? Can I say something to you right now? You are God's sons and daughters. When he thinks of your emotional state this morning, does it make him smile or does it make him cry? Here's the good news. It's within the power of your hand to do something about it. I hope you received something this morning. We're going to wipe the tears before we leave this place, and I'm going to make a rule. No tears at the lake. All smiles. So now we got to practice because you've had frowns on your faces for the last 30 minutes. So before we dismiss, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to see what everybody thinks in here right now. I want you right now to look dead into the eye of who you think is the meanest looking person in this church. If you guys want to look at Sister Carter, she's got glasses on. She can't see you. If it's me, lock in them eyes. All right, you ready? And now I want you to put the biggest smile on your face that you can. I mean them ones that hurt, where your cheeks hurt. Put it on like that. Do that elementary school kind of smile when your grandkids, when they got their school pictures back and they look like this. See, show them. I'll make you show them. I'll lick your face. A merry heart does good like a medicine. I want you to hear this right now. This church loves you. And we are so happy that you're here. Eat more food than you want to eat today. Leave full. Leave feeling bad about yourself physically. Leave needing to do cardio tomorrow. Eat desserts. Hug more necks than you're comfortable with. If you want, and it is even completely out of care, jump in the lake today. But I want you to lay your head on your pillow tonight, knowing that Jesus loves you, this church loves you, and we want you to come show us love too. Amen? Thank you for your attention. Let's head to the lake. Please be careful. Let's go have a good time in Jesus' name.